Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. This year marks the 85th anniversary of CITR. Many of the shows on the station are offering special programming to mark this occasion. Techno Progressivo is no exception, and I'm going to be doing an episode rewind for two of my favorite interviews from the past. I am a massive fan of Mark Knight and his Tooloom label. The first vinyl from that imprint that I owned was by Punk Rock, and it was titled Sweet Child, sampling the Guns N' Roses track, and that is going all the way back to 2004. I've listened to his podcast for years, entered a Tool Room remix contest, and the chance to interview him in the fall of 2019 was a real bucket list interview for me. It turned out as good as I hoped and showcased some of my favorite Mark Knight tracks. Full track list is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. This was the second half of that interview. Enjoy.
Can you offer some insight into the day-to-day workings of the label? You've already mentioned A&R. You're managing to put a radio show out. You have compilations that come out two or three times a year, your regular productions, and then your live events. So who makes all this come together?
So we have a big staff. We've got 22 staff.
Oh, wow.
So it's a big operation. It's a really big operation. And we have an amazing team. I mean, that's what makes it successful. It's not an individual. It's not just me. Far from it. It's the whole team. But we very much believe in what we're doing as a vision. And it's our company. It's not my company. It's our company. And when we do well, we all share in the success of that, not only in terms of how we get rewarded, but financially. You know, that's very much the ethos of our business. Come the end of the year, a good year, everyone gets a very big bonus, because without us, then, you know, there is no Tool Room. It's Tool Room family. That's our motto, and that's not just a strap line. That rings true throughout the whole business. In fact, myself, my brother, and my dad as the shareholders, and then the rest of the team, our extended family, and that's how we run it, and that's the secret of our success.
I really don't think you should do that. I mean, I don't know if I can control myself. I'll tell you what. Come here and snuggle up to Mama real close. You see, it's all about this love thing that I got for you. You know what I mean? There's nothing freaky, funky, or kinky about it. So come on over here and shake it up a little bit. Yeah, like that. You know, the first time you touched me, I remember how I felt. It was like all the forces in the universe had come together and created us. Come on over here and shake it up a little bit. Yeah, like that. You know, the first time you touched me, I remember how I felt. It was like all the forces of the universe had come together and created us.
When you were producing, which DAW do you produce with?
More and more Ableton now, okay. Pretty much just Ableton. I mean, I was always Logic all the way. I also use Cubase quite a bit now. I think Cubase is brilliant. I mean, okay. I'm not the biggest fan of its look, but in terms of its functionality and usability, I think it combines the best of Logic and Ableton. So I'm moving more and more towards Cubase, but I love Ableton just for its quickness. You can get an idea together in 10 minutes to know whether it's going to work or not going to work, where Logic finds a bit more long-winded. I find Logic more precise. You know, if you're doing something more grandiose, I think Logic gives you the option of being more precise with your production. And I think that sonically it's a better DAW, but in terms of making just straight-up club records and to get a vibe, then there's Ableton is the one.
Do you use external VSTs usually, or just what Ableton includes as well?
Oh, no, I use everything, you know. I mean, I have a kind of palette of plugins that I use, and sometimes I think you could overcomplicate things, find things you know to use well and do a certain job and just have three or four of them just to give you alternatives. You know, I might have two or three different saturations and I'll AP all two or three of them to find out what I like best, but that'll be at one at 15 different saturations plugins, because otherwise you'll never get the job done. So I kind of have a palette of go-to plugins that I use, which is a combination. I mean, the Ableton plugins themselves, I've got to say, are very, very good. Very good, very quick to use, very easy to use, but I don't overcomplicate things, and I think that's the trick.
Which do you feel more passionate about, DJing or producing, and why?
I think they're so intrinsically linked. One forgets the other, really. You can't have one without the other. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than making a record than going out DJing to a crowd and people going mad. You know, it ties the two things together. Of course, DJing's a lot more exhausting in terms of how it drains you physically and mentally, and just the time you have to give it. With all the travel and everything else involved, very difficult when you have a family and a business and all the other things. So that can become more draining than being in a studio 9 to 5. That's definitely more of a comfortable scenario, but I like both, you know, and as I say, one is intrinsically linked with the other, so I couldn't live without either.
Is there ever a time of year when you actually take an extended break from all of this?
No.
Oh, seriously? Oh, wow.
Is the answer to that? I only actually work 2 weekends a month because I have a son. Okay. And you couldn't pay me enough money to watch, you know, to miss him growing up. And in fact, I may even slow down even further because I'm at a point in my life where my main focus is my family, and that's what means most to me. I've been on the road for 20 years straight, which is quite exhausting, but I'll never give up. And what I'm doing now is just doing the shows I really want to do. Don't feel like I need to play every single weekend to prove my existence or my worth within the industry. I can choose the shows I really want to play at, and the rest of the time is either running the business or at home with my family. So then I have the best of all worlds, you know. And I think that really is success. People shouldn't necessarily measure success in whether you do 28 gigs a month. Success is balance. If you have the balance of all the things you love doing, then you truly make it, and that's what we strive for. That's what I strive for anyway.
Can you name one producer or DJ whom you really admire and why?
Wow, loads. And I'll never stop the hunt for that, you know, and giving people props. I mean, I think this industry sometimes lacks that community that house music should be built on. It's a community thing where we constantly should be bigging each other up and giving each other props. But if I had to say now, one guy I'm a real big fan of, and which translates in my life, it's his Siege. He makes incredible music, really, really consistent, and makes great club records. He makes records that just translate on a dance floor. So right now, Siege is, I'm probably his biggest fan.
Your show in Vancouver is happening November the 22nd at Celebrities. I know that's about 5 or 6 weeks away, but what do you think club goers can expect from you that night?
The sound of Bart Knight and the sound of Tour Room. You know, that's only what I can bring. My passion and my energy. And I've always had brilliant nights in Vancouver, and I would expect nothing less. Come that night. It should be a whole lot of fun.
You've sort of touched on some of this, but maybe you can come up with some more. What's your vision for yourself production-wise and also in DJing for the future?
Production-wise, I started to go back to my roots a little bit and make quite a bit of soulful house music and disco. I've just done a remix that drops tomorrow, actually, of Karen Harding's new single, which is a big full vocal thing with Michael Gray. We've been working with him quite a lot from Full Intention, and we've just done a project for Jasper Street Company, The Nervous, again, which is, you know, kind of is a cover of the Change record Paradise. So we've done that. So yeah, I kind of want to go back to my roots a little bit and make, you know, I come from a very soulful house background, or very soulful background, full stop, you know, and that's really where my roots are entrenched. So that's very much a part of what I want to do next year. I mean, I have a specialist radio show in the UK outside of what I do for Tour Room, where I just play funk, disco, boogie, house, all that kind of stuff, you know, straight from my heart. So that's going to be very much a big part of what I do next year in terms of production, alongside, of course, all the usual tour and stuff that I do and stuff for the other labels. But I really want to revisit that. And as I say, in terms of DJing, you know, it's going to be about quality than quantity next year. You know, I want to spend more time in the studio. I want to spend more time with my family. So, you know, if you see me at a nightclub, you know it's going to be special, because I'm not picking many shows. I'm just picking the ones that I really, really, really want to do.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
I'm DJ Waugh, and this is the 85th anniversary of CITR episode of Techno Progressivo. Congrats to the station for reaching this benchmark, and I've really appreciated the opportunity to share my selection of music on air for the past 13 years. I hope you enjoyed the Mark Knight interview. The second interview I chose to air is one I did with Max Graham back in 2014. This was another bucket list interview for me. I first heard him on Paul Oakenfold's Perfecto Presents Another World CD going back to 2000, and couldn't believe that a Canadian was making music this good. A number of his tracks featured on several other mix CDs I bought in the early 2000s, and I was just a big fan of the proggy tech house sound that he produced. Full track listing is on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy my interview with Max Graham. Mm-hmm.
this is DJ Waugh speaking to Max Graham, a DJ and producer who has had a longer than 20-year career in the electronic music industry. He's had over 40 production credits to his name, 12 compilation albums over a span of 18 years, over 30 remixes, and on. This is Max Graham. So thank you for agreeing to do this. It's a pleasure to speak to a Canadian producer that's so established internationally. Okay, so your Facebook page mentions that you're currently living in Amsterdam, but Wikipedia has you most recently living in Montreal. So where are you currently living, and what's the attraction to living there?
I moved to Amsterdam about a year and a half ago. I just needed a change from the sort of daily routine that I was in Montreal. And I love Montreal, and I love Canada, but as far as inspiration goes, sometimes you need to kind of shake it up to get a fresh perspective, you know?
How would you describe the musical elements that make up the Max Graham sound, and how would you say that's changed from when you began about 15 years ago to present time?
I think there's elements that have stayed consistent. I mean, I've always had a lot of drive to my music. It's funny, someone said the other day that even though I make, you know, quite a variation of styles of music, they can always tell I'm not using a ghost producer because it has certain elements that they recognize from song to song, which I guess is kind of my style, which I thought was funny. In this day and age, if, you know, that's almost how it is. People have to know you're not using a ghost producer rather than think that you might be. I find that there's an energy and a drive and sort of a percussive bounciness to the music that I make. And it's harder for me to recognize the elements than it is from some people from afar. But I always like to have a little bit of melody, a little bit of emotion. So even from the trancy stuff to the deeper stuff, there's always something that sort of tugs at you a little bit emotionally rather than just a straightforward, you know, dance track. But I would say that the sort of roller coaster drive is always there. You know, the track is always pushing the dance floor and trying to raise the energy with a really good sort of roll. So, yeah, I think that's what I would say would be the most consistent thing.
Take a little notice of me.
are responsible for creating many genre-defining tracks over the 15-year span. Your biography reads like a who's who of electronic music over the past 20 years. Names like Nick Warren, Paul Oakenfold, Dumpfire, Armin van Buuren, etc. all playing your music. So what do you think is your secret to continuing to successfully produce music of such a high standard and make music that's still relevant even though the genres and styles have changed so much over the last 10 or 15 years?
Well, I think it's two things. I mean, it's staying, letting yourself be inspired, like constantly looking for new things and taking those risks with new sounds and not getting stuck in the same sort of formula. But also writing music for yourself, and your tastes are naturally going to change. You know, there's always that argument, well, music was better 20 years ago. And I'm like, well, if you want to have the same haircut you had 20 years ago and watch the same TV show, watch old, you know, Seinfeld reruns, and you want to wear the same clothes you wore 20 years ago, I'll make the same music. And they're like, well, no, all that stuff has to move forward. I'm like, then so does music, you know? So I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of amazing people, but I actually don't think I'm that great of a producer, but I think that the failures I've had are when I've tried to make music that will be popular, and the successes that I've had are when I've made music for myself just to DJ. You know, Evil ID was something I made thinking no one would like, and, you know, it ended up being a massive hit. And then something like Susanna Down to Nothing, we made as sort of like, okay, we're going to make a big vocal track. It's going to be Beatport Top 5, and, you know, it didn't do that well. And I think, you know, it doesn't always work, but the key for me, or the most times I've had success, is when I've made music, you know, for myself, and then it's the most natural and the most, you know, inspired and flowing and not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole kind of thing. So I would say that, you know, just following your own inspiration and letting yourself be inspired by so many other sounds out there has been the key to keeping it fresh and being able to keep it relevant.
sort of musical training did you have growing up?
I had like 2-3 years of piano, but I hated it. And, you know, I used to skip the class and sing my carbo down. I really didn't enjoy it, but had I known, I obviously would have stuck with it. But it's that age old, you know, kids fighting against their parents and not doing their chores and regretting it later. So I had just a little bit of training, but I've always had a good ear for what music works with others. I think as a DJ, that shines through, but I wish I'd taken more piano training, that's for sure.
Okay, so in terms of production, which DAW do you use and why?
I use Ableton. I've used Cubase, I've used Logic, but I really like Ableton because I just love the flow of being able to drag things in and out. And the workflow for me is the key because I'm not super, super technical. I leave the really technical stuff just to the final engineer. But as far as being able to pull sounds in and pull synths in, pull samples in, you know, just drag and drop them onto a file and then onto a channel and then drop a file in and try ideas out, I find the flow of Ableton to be really smooth.
Is there a go-to VST that you have that you just couldn't live without?
I think it's a little predictable, but probably Silent. Okay. Silent and then the F expansion stuff. Silent just because I find I'm not a great programmer either when it comes to synths, but I find this one quite simple to get the sound that I want and, you know, the really kind of play around with it. It's more for sort of trancey stuff. Since I've been making a little more techno-based stuff, it's been a lot of samples and a lot less synths. But Silent and probably, yeah, I would say that's probably the one. But it's quite a common one, so it's not that revealing to say that. But
yeah.
It's definitely, there's a reason it's common. You know, it really is just that good and that simple to use.
Which do you prefer more, producing or DJing?
I'm 80% DJ, 20% producer. I mean, I love being home. I love being creative in the studio. But to be honest, I started doing it because I wanted to promote my DJ career. And there's a lot of DJs that, and this is again why you get into the ghost producer thing, because some guys just are natural DJs and some guys are natural producers. And the industry has kind of forced us to be both. And it's forced us to, no matter how good you are as a DJ, you need to have production out there to keep your profile up. You know, unless there's someone like a Dom Digweed who's kind of past that point, for most guys, you need to keep putting music out, even though DJing and producing have nothing to do with each other, or they shouldn't. So I find myself sometimes, you know, pressuring myself in the studio, which I don't, you know, doesn't always get you the best results. But when I'm DJing, it comes totally natural to me. And, you know, when I begin the night for an 8-hour set, it's just, it's pure bliss for me. My phone's off, my headphones are plugged in, you know, my friends are around, there's people on the dance floor. And it's just, it's effortless for me, that 8 hours. Whereas in the studio, I get quite frustrated and you know, go around in circles a lot. So I'm definitely a much better DJ than producer, and I 100% enjoy DJing.
we're scheduled to do an open to close set next Friday at Celebrities here, Friday the 29th. Is there anything particularly challenging for you to program a 7 or 8 hour set versus a 1 or 2 hour set?
Well, I think it's more challenging to program the 1 hour from the perspective of what am I going to play? You know what I mean? Like, I just have so much music. I mean, if it's a big trance festival, it's quite easy. You know, it's sort of half the set's going to be my own, some big trancey stuff, and then the other half, you know, a quarter will be from my label, and you know, some amazing artists like Solid Stone and Border Culture on the label, and then, you know, maybe a couple of classics and stuff. So it really isn't that hard, but when I'm playing like a club set and it's only 90 minutes and I have literally 10 hours of music, it can be quite challenging. As for programming the long sets, I like it. I mean, it definitely is a few days of work, you know, especially before you go out on a tour where you're going to do 4 or 5 of them.
Can you name the top club event that you've done this year, top festival event or anything that you have done so far this year?
Top club event would be my 8 hour set at SRB in Brooklyn. Actually, I think it was 7 and a bit. It was just perfect. It was, you know, 400 people in a warehouse in Brooklyn, and if people came early, you know, I'd say that there was 200 people there in the first hour of a 7 hour set, and it was really, really good. Just the most natural flowing. Like, I loved the way the booth was set up, the lights, everything. It was exactly the kind of event I wanted to throw, and, you know, was super happy with it. As for festivals, I'm going to pick the latest, which was the Paul Van Dyke party last weekend. I played in Germany. It was actually my first gig in Germany after 15 years, and I played techno and trance, and it worked really well, and I walked away going, like, wow. Like, I was really impressed for a festival crowd that they took some club music and were really into it, so super stoked.
What are you working on right now, and is there anything that you wanted to promote?
So busy planning Cycles Tour 2015, which begins in January, with Cycle 6 coming out in January. So I'm starting to set up the CD now. This summer has been, you know, I've had 7 Ibiza gigs, which is the most I've had in my life, so I'm still touring pretty heavy for the summer. I have two Ibiza shows next week, and then I'm obviously in Vancouver on the 29th for the open to close. So even while I'm traveling, we're going back and forth on Skype and email, making all these plans. I do have a couple new singles coming out. I have Max Graham, The Remixes Part 3, which is going to be 4 past tracks of mine, all remixed by different people. That'll be, I believe, the end of September. Obviously, Rebrand has some great stuff coming out, a beautiful new vocal Solid Stone and Jennifer Renee did called Not Enough. That's absolutely incredible. You can hear that at soundcloud.com/rebrandrecords. And Cycles Radio every week is still consumes, you know, 20% of my week, getting this show done, this baby, getting it finished and out there every week. And it's always so that great relief feeling every Tuesday night when the show is over and I can rest for a couple of days before I have to start again. But obviously, maxgram.com, if you go there, that links to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, whatever you want. It's all there. And then do say hi on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay, so Max Graham can be heard on Cycles Radio each week on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. His most recent compilation CD, Cycles 5, can be found on iTunes. And he is playing at Celebrities this Friday the 29th for an open to close set, and tickets are still available on the Celebrities website.
I got a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder, and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Congratulations to CITR for 85 years of great independent community-based radio. Full track list for tonight's episode can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear this one again, or more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by, visit Techno Progressivo's show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. For this one, let's hop back 9 years to 2014. UK production duo Proc and Fitch are a powerhouse. I went to the Winter Music Conference that year and this song was massive. This is South Keys. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here next time.